The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Starting off 2016, here is Steve Harris. He's Vice President and General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you doing today? And Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. We all knew the news back in December. Oh, back last year. Big news around here and around town was Fatara. And we've sliced it and diced it in many ways. We talked about the grades. Everyone knows the grades. They're deplorable. We know about the sponsors and what's happened. And what I want to do today is bring Steve in and say, what about 2016? I mean, I don't care about, the past is the past. Let's look at the future and let's look at what's going to happen. It's like the NFL playoffs. Everyone's 0-0, playoffs. And here you are, 2016, everyone's 0-0. So I thought we'd bring you in. You have a long range of experience with the federal government. Talk about some of your perspectives on Fatara, maybe how Dell can help my listeners maybe improve their scores on Fatara, and maybe put Fatara in perspective of how it helps make the government more transparent. But before we begin, you have an interesting background, long time in one place. Tell us how you wound up with Dell many years ago.
Well, really, it was by luck. I happened to be in Austin, Texas, and back in 98, the end of 97, Dell was the talk of the town. I was lucky enough to get the door there at a very entry level. I was a temporary employee, and my first target audience was to be on the phones talking to higher education. And I became immediately fascinated with the higher education market. And even back then, the roots of the company is to design a engagement model. And we were a direct company at the time. We only were direct.
Well, Michael, they'll started in a dorm room, higher education dorm room.
Exactly. And so you can bet that he's always been a big supporter of that vertical market. Our go-to-market strategy was to engage directly with a customer and then take, all of Dell's capabilities, funnel it to a single point of contact, have a relationship, understand what the customer's trying to do, and then build the best technology solution to support those efforts. And so I was very lucky to end up in the higher education market, learned a lot about what they were trying to do. Our technology was, perfect for what they were trying to accomplish in terms of putting technology in students' hands, building more efficient data centers and things of that nature. And so over the years, I ascended into executive leadership. Ended up looking after the entire sales force for education, state and local government. So that's K-12, that's cities, that's counties, that's higher education, university systems, even the FFRDCs, places like Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab and MIT Lincoln Lab. So, it's been very easy to stay deeply engaged because the customers that I've had the privilege to work with have had fascinating missions. And we've always been allowed to go to market with this really broad portfolio of capability that allows us to engage on a broad basis with all of these folks.
I just thought of your initial comments of what your goal was to listen to customers and then help them achieve their goals with technology. I mean, you can just take and plug that in today. With your job now today is to listen to federal customers, find out what their goals are, and see if Dell can provide services or maybe information that can help them achieve those goals. So same basic process, just different group of people, huh?
Yeah, the model is pretty universal globally for Dell. It's engaged directly with customers, understand what they're trying to achieve or accomplish, understand their mission, know that every functional area of whether it's a federal agency or a commercial enterprise is supported by technology. And so when you look at the Fed in the U.S., and this is a spectacular time to be in this business. Fatara is a very serious call to action that plays exactly into our long-term corporate strategy of flipping the 80-20. As a matter of fact, John, that was you know, our core marketing message, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Pareto principle. We all know that. I will start off with a quote here, and you can put this in perspective for our audience. It's not a secret that the IT acquisition process is broken. And I think that was the impetus for Fatara. Why don't you describe Fatara quickly, and then we'll develop this topic a little more.
So Fatara has, you know, a really broad area of impact in terms of, you know, both the how and the what. And so on one side of the equation, you know, we empower the CIO. And then on the other side of the equation, we have a scorecard and we have targeted outcomes. And so in between those two bookends, if you will, is a tremendous amount of work that needs to be accomplished. And that work actually involves every single employee in every agency, because like I said earlier, you can't get away from technology. Every job, whether it's in the field, whether it's in the back office, whether it's, you know, in the cafeteria, in every agency, you know, involves technology is a core element of what they do, you know, of how you do your work every day. And so I think, to me, after many years of experience serving the public sector, once you empower the CIO, you know, you actually give them the authority to be a C-level executive in the agency. You know, this is a very big paradigm shift.
It means accountability too, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does mean accountability. But if you're going to do all the right things as a CIO, it begins with good communication. And so if the CIO is in charge of the IT budget, he or she needs to make sure that they're aligning that to all of the needs and to support all of the desired outcomes of every functional area of the agency.
Some people have described it as a department CIO and then a component CIO. Are those good terms? You think those apply here?
I think that's fine. The reality is that you have, you know, a C-level person that's responsible for the overarching IT budget, and that person needs to make sure that everybody else that's responsible for delivering IT in a functional area has what they need to do it optimally, evaluates all the different ways to deliver a service, whether that's centralizing and delivering a shared service from an on-premise private cloud, whether it's moving it off-prem, or whether the decision is, okay, this is something that's very unique to your component agency and you should just build it optimally and drive it. But let's, by the way, while we're doing that, make sure that we're taking advantage of our buy power and that we're buying the you know, the components and the software necessary to deliver the solution very optimally.
So last month when they released the grades, were you surprised that a lot of C's and D's, not many A's in those report cards for 24 agencies, huh? Were you surprised at that?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. Because we didn't have the true CIO position, you know, the true empowered position prior to the legislation, it would have, I think, been nearly impossible to have achieved a lot of the milestones that Fatara is looking to drive.
You know, Tony Scott now says that, it's really more of a baseline and a point to grow from rather than a grade. But, you know, I teach in Georgetown, as my listeners know, and next week I start a class, and many of my students want to get A's because their companies will reimburse them for the class if they get the A. And these grades are really important for people, and I guess I have this emotional, I want an A, and I don't see many A's here at all. And is it an evaluation, or is it just a baseline for a start?
Well, I think it's both. On one hand, it's going to take a significant amount of time and effort, and probably more time and effort depending on how decentralized the agency happens to be, more time and effort depending on how differentiated the mission areas of an agency happens to be. On the other hand, you know, some of these things are eminently achievable. And if there's not, you know, bipartisan oversight of the things that should and can be delivered in the short term, I view it as actually support to the newly empowered CIO. It's a message to everybody in the agency that they need to get on board and, you know, expect that the CIO is trying to accomplish these things, and you have no choice but to support him or her as they drive these initiatives.
Let's take a little break, and we'll talk more about the power of the CIO, and maybe we'll talk about what's going on over at Department of Transportation, which surprises some people and doesn't surprise others of exactly how big a stick the CIO can actually yield in FITARA. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In studio this afternoon, Steve Harris, Vice President General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Harris, Vice President, General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. Big companies, big ideas, big initiative called FITARA. Wanted to find out what FITARA means to my listeners, well, what happens in 2016. And I sure have met a lot of folks in and out of the federal government. And one of my favorite characters is a guy named Richard Spires. And I met him in a different position. He's the CEO of Resilient Network Systems now. Here's a great quote here. He goes, many agencies don't know what goodness looks like. And so I think that's what FITARA is trying to do, isn't it? It's trying to say, well, no, yeah, yes, Richard, you're doing a good job. Yes, Sally, you're doing a good job. No, Paul, you aren't. Yes, Abdul, you're doing a good job, or whatever the name happens to be. I think that's the whole idea of FITARA, is just try to find out if they're doing a good job or not, trying to evaluate them.
I think it is. You know, working for Michael Dell, it's really an amazing place to be. We're talking about one of the world's greatest entrepreneurs. And Michael has always believed that technology is about enabling human potential. And so when you talk about what goodness looks like as it pertains to technology in the federal government, you can also look at a quote by President Obama around using technology in the federal mission to improve people's lives. And so that's very, very well aligned with the vision of my CEO. And it's also very well aligned with the 500 people, with the mission of the 500 people I have out there, working with the agencies day in and day out, trying to understand what they're trying to do, how they want to improve their services, and then deliver that to them with technology solutions that drive out cost, not only of acquisition, but as it pertains to ongoing maintenance and support, enables better cybersecurity, and, allows people to transform the way they do their job.
One CIO is doing his job a little differently from the others. So we've got 24 agencies that get the report cards out there, and all of a sudden they have increase in power. And one of them, the DOT, Department of Transportation CIO Richard McKinney, actually says, okay, let's put a freeze on this for 90 days. And I'm not doing nothing until my CIOs report to me. That's why I thought about this little component and then a department CIO. It's pretty interesting. I'd like to know what the other agencies are thinking. What do you think about something like this? Good plan? It seems pretty aggressive, doesn't it?
I think it's really good leadership. Richard needs to inspire immediate communication around what people are trying to accomplish with their IT investments. And then once that communication occurs, work with that component IT leader or business leader that may have in the past had the reins on the IT budget and say, okay, well, so what are you trying to accomplish? Is this something that we could deliver via a shared service in our central data center? Is this something that perhaps we have a contract or, we can move it off-premise to the cloud? And if we agree that you should build it, in your component agency, are you doing this optimally? Are you doing it on an open system? Are you doing it in a way that will, deliver a low cost of acquisition, be consistent with, the standards of the agency, leveraging the buy power of all the components? Is it going to be cybersecure? Is it going to be all of these questions?
So but this is an interesting situation you're in. I'm sure Dell has some purchase orders that are sitting out there waiting to get paid, and everything's frozen, but it's frozen for everyone else. Just even someone like Gerald Connolly, who is a big proponent of FITARA, he was surprised. He said, well, this is what we wanted to have happen, but we never expected it to happen, did he? It's a very delicate process here. I think it's we'll see how it plays out here. Think other agencies are going to take up and do the similar type of activities?
Well, I think as the CIOs, become the de facto leader for IT in their agencies, that they're going to have to use different mechanisms in order to inspire the communication necessary to build an IT strategic plan, to actually determine what projects need to happen in a given year, over a 3-year period, how those projects are going to be delivered. for us, we're a big supporter. We have a very broad portfolio of technologies. Generally, they're based on open systems. We have a expansive partner community, folks like Microsoft, Intel, Red Hat, VMware, etc. And what we find is when the CIO takes over, we have these goals of IT modernization. It significantly opens our addressable market. We can play in almost every single IT project that's happening in any given agency, provide a very solid solution that is based on the workload, that's based on the mission support, as long as it's not being delivered on an antiquated or proprietary technology. So we're a big fan. We think that the CIO is going to work hard to flip the 80-20 and move that spend to the market that we built a company to support.
Earlier, you talked about higher education. My wife has a master's degree in education. She's a Latin teacher. I'm a teacher. We talk about evaluations all the time. And when students get D's and C's, is that because they're a bad student or is it a bad teacher? I mean, I struggle with that all the time. You know, if all my students don't get A's, well, I'm a bad teacher. There's a little bit of a back and forth here. I think. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think a bad student, bad teacher? I mean, is the CEO being put in a teacher's role now? Okay, here's how we comply, and maybe that's what Richard McKinney is doing here. He's trying to say, okay, we want to comply with the next step of FITARA, and maybe he's taking his role of a teacher. I don't know.
Well, I think he made a move to expedite his ability to execute. But if you know, when we're talking about higher education, you're talking about Dell's position in all of these matters. Let's use the learning management system, okay, which is an enterprise application in higher education. How well the learning management system works definitely affects learning outcomes. It definitely can be an inhibitor for pedagogy or the professor's ability to achieve their best, teaching posture and for students to learn. So we would look at it and say, okay, you need to make your learning management system as good as it can be. But on the back end, we need to put this on an open system that runs at the lowest cost, that's highly available, that will scale to the peak workloads, during period finals or at the beginning of semester. By driving the costs out of that and creating the best platform, it allows the university then to reinvest those dollars into things like customization of the actual platform to meet more professor requirements. And I think that that's a great example of flipping the 80-20. I would note, however, that this doesn't happen overnight. So while the CIO may design the project, may agree that they're going to replatform this enterprise application, it may be a couple of years before they can actually start the project. And so, these report cards have come out, in a very short time after the legislation was passed and the CIO was put in the position to be able to make a difference. And so there's definitely going to be runway. I would like to think that the IT strategic plan is coming together and that we'll see that the intent to deliver the progress is way ahead of the actual ability to deliver the projects necessary to improve the report cards.
Let's take a little break and come back. We'll talk more about the next 6 to 12 months. Now, if this is not really a report card, it's really just an interim report or indication. I imagine someone like Tony Scott's going to have some ideas what he wants to see in the next 6 to 12 months and see how different agencies try to implement some of these goals here. I'll take a break, talk more about what's going to happen with FITARA later on in 2016. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Steve Harris, Vice President General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, Steve Harris, Vice President, General Manager at Dell Federal Systems. We're talking about FITARA. It's kind of old news now. People know that a lot of agencies got bad grades, but we're going to figure out, well, what's the next step? So that's last year. This is 2016. What does FITARA mean to me? Can FITARA help agencies manage themselves well? And a lot of listeners want to know about this topic, and a lot of my listeners read blogs and try to find more. Is there maybe a way that my listeners can learn more about this? They could be listening to this when the Nationals are playing here in 3 or 4 months. Where can they go for more information about Dell and FITARA?
Well, at Dell Federal, we're a pretty big believer in a lot of the events that happen around the Beltway. We know people come together to learn and figure out what they're going to do next to solve some of their toughest problems. In December, we sponsored or were part sponsor of the Meritalk Fatara Symposium, and I believe there's some online archives from a panel session that I was on. And then a little bit later in December, we were the sole underwriter of the Fatara Forward event that was held by NextGov. And they have out on NextGov.com, they have the archives from that event. Our Dell Federal CTO, Chief Technology Officer, is a gentleman by the name of Cameron Sherry, C-H-E-H-R-E-H. And Cameron did a keynote at the Fatara Forward Symposium for NextGov. He did a great job on it. It's online. I would encourage people to go out and listen to it. He details, John, our future-ready government technology strategy.
Well, that's perfect. If you're listening to this later on in the year and you want to learn more, and that's what we find a lot of our listeners type in Dell or Fatara and then want to listen to what you have to say and then follow the links. So it's really good to learn about that. And the listeners may want to know that this is also available as a podcast. You can go to the Apple Store, type in Federal Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, and listen to this three or four months down the road. Or most people who will listen to podcasts, they are part of their exercise or part of the drive into work. And it's a real nice way to keep up with technology. I once had a student walk up to me a year after the class ended and said, "Well, it's just not fair. What's not fair? The grade you gave me, I want you to change it." I'm not going to change your grade. He wanted me to change the grade a year after the course. But I think students always walk in and say, "It's not fair." Well, I think there's some agencies that have walked up to Congress and said, "It's not fair." For example, our friends over at the National Labs, they said, "It's not fair. We want an exemption." And they got an exemption for TAR, didn't they?
So the Department of Energy, the DOE National Labs deliver on really mission critical research and design function for the United States. And I believe that this exception is warranted because you want to make sure that a technology initiative doesn't interrupt what is an absolutely mission critical function. At the same time, I do not believe that they should feel that they are exempt from making progress on building the best service that they can internally to deliver on research computing.
And you would think the PhDs in math and computer science over there would have this figured out, but who knows? But if you think it's smart people, I think of people at NASA. I mean, I've known people who worked at NASA, and they tend to have math degrees and real popular. But they took the test or they were evaluated, and they didn't come out too high, did they, with their Fatara score?
You have to be very smart to design, build, and fly a spaceship, and all the other things that they do at NASA. And you're talking about a lot of diverse missions over there, and so you have a lot of decentralized functional areas, and of course historically, no matter where you are, this kind of a business, people build IT environments to support these unique functions, and so you get a very decentralized world of information technology. And I think that what they've been dinged on is that, A, they're very decentralized. B, some of these systems have become, antiquated, haven't been refreshed probably the way that they should be. On December 29th, there was a great article, again, out on NextGov. This is a blog I read every day. That talked about a letter that was sent to NASA leadership asking, what are your most antiquated hardware platforms? What are your most antiquated programming languages? What mission critical applications and services are being delivered on these antiquated platforms? And I think that it's really, this is a very positive thing, because what it does is it allows the IT organization to draw focus, pick some battles, design the transition or the bridge project that helps them move from a last generation to a current generation IT platform and enables them to get, you know, moved into the future, with the most optimal way to deliver that service.
There is a group in town called the Sunlight Foundation. And I guess the theory is that sunlight opens up a lot of things, and I think that what this Fatara is doing is it's acting like sunlight. It's casting its rays on everyone and showing out strengths and weaknesses here. And I think that's I think it has to be done in big organizations. I'm pretty familiar with small companies, and if small companies don't produce revenue, people leave. I mean, it's been pretty clear. I mean, revenue means growth. Revenue means income. And with large organizations, it gets hard, and I think maybe they need these overachieving or overall initiatives, something like Fatara, in order to bring sunlight to all the good and all the bad, too.
Right. And I'm asking all the members of the team at Dell Federal. These folks are responsible for the entire portfolio of technology, asking them to engage with the agencies, find the mission-critical applications that are being delivered on a suboptimal platform, whether that's a mainframe or whether that's proprietary Unix. I recognize that what's technically possible, even what is technically very advantageous, is not always fiscally possible. So I hope that Congress continues to support the agencies with, you know, new innovative legislation and support mechanisms, so that if you have the ability to make an investment that will save money on a 3 to 5 year period, that investment is enabled. We need to get these projects funded. Well, first we got to get them designed, but we need to get them designed. We need to get them funded and delivered. You have to spend money to save money in some of these circumstances. More than anything, Fatara should give us the ability to get off, to get off the starting blocks and actually at least identify the projects that will be most advantageous to us when we execute on them.
So 2016 here, it's January. What is the next step? What's the next 6-8 months? What's the process here for Fatara?
I think that it's Dell Federal, we really believe that the office of the CIO is a change agent position. We believe that the office of the CIO has the ability to engage with every functional area in an agency and deliver innovative technologies that make it possible for the end user to do their job more efficiently, do their job more effectively, in essence, improve services that they're delivering to the citizens. And so I think that the continued increase in communication between, leaders of functional areas and, the CIO's office is paramount. I think the strategic plan needs to be built, and then we literally just need to drive progress towards it.
One interesting aspect, I see the crossover in the commercial world and the federal world, is incremental development. And this is one of the four basic principles of the Fatara here. So what do you think about incremental development? Do you ever deal with that, or how do you think that can be implemented here for 2016?
I think we work pretty hard in our broad portfolio of products on incremental development. And one example that I really like is looking at the progress of innovation as it pertains to open systems versus closed systems. The incremental development comes from many sources when you have an open source technology. The whole community is enabled to, it's kind of like a crowdsourcing, from various private interests that help, whether it's an LTO tape technology versus what was a DLT. It's amazing how fast things scale when people can contribute incrementally.
Yeah, that's a challenge for everyone, and I think it just forces CIOs to take and apply some newer concepts with software development. And I've read a lot about Project Management Institute, and what they're saying is that most of the humans in the federal government agree there's got to be some kind of IT spending reform. It's the change management working with humans that's really the challenge here. That's I don't know if that's true or not, but I can see that in other organizations. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about the future of Fatara and some of your personal technology choices. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Steve Harris, Vice President, General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, Steve Harris, Vice President, General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. We've been talking Fatara, talking about 2016 and Fatara and how Dell can help and some of the principles behind Tara and the good news and the bad news and the grades and the 24 agencies and Tony Scott. And there are some people that get information from blogs and some people listen to podcasts and some people on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. I don't even know why. And there's a Twitter handle from Dell too, Dell Federal. Which one should we use?
At Dell Federal is our Twitter handle. We're going to be pretty active out there this year.
Yeah, I sent out 5 tweets yesterday. I automate my tweets. I send out too many, I think. I go to events all the time. I'm sitting and talking to people in the audience. I was at this one event where the LCD screen broke, and I was wandering in the audience with a microphone talking to everyone. They always ask me questions, and when they ask me the most unusual question, I'll get someone like Vivek Kundra in here, and they'll say, what kind of car does he drive? Or I'll get like an encryption specialist, and I say, what kind of phone does he use? And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test that'll find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd. And this is for the benefit of the audience, because this is the important stuff, and this is the most popular part of the whole interview. And we're going to ask you, the first question is, do you have an Instagram account?
I do not.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been a weak nerdling here. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Well, I go through cell phones pretty rapidly.
Wow, that's a good sign.
So last year was probably just 2, though.
Mm. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's Baltimore on.
That's pretty humble. Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
I've used it in terms of watching it. I've never been a broadcaster.
Mm. And what is the kind of smartphone that you have?
I have a Samsung Galaxy 5, and I think I've got a little bit of an itch here for the next version of that.
I had a young man at my table for Thanksgiving dinner. He had one on his forearm. He was playing a game with people. It's a long story. And what was the most popular app on that phone the last 30 days for you?
Uber.
Uber. Yeah, they can get you on the road here, huh? How many tablet devices do they have? We break into your house tonight.
Well, I have 3 children, and so it wouldn't probably surprise you if I said, 6 or 7.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And when was your most recent post in social network?
Geez, I think it was pretty recent, and I think it was official business at Dell. We have an internal feed called Chatter, and I am a big Chatter user. I find it an exceptionally good way to keep the rest of Dell up to date on the great things that we're doing with the federal government and Dell Federal.
And when is your Apple when's your Apple Watch due? You don't have an Apple phone, but ask anyway. Are you going to get an Apple Watch?
I haven't had many Apple experiences. I've been with Dell for 20 years, so it's been on the embargo list for me, sir.
I've talked to 4 or 5 people who said, they can afford it and they have the technology, they love it, but no, it doesn't do anything for them. Final question. Last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was paper. I'm still a paper book junkie.
Me too. I'm reading a biography of Henry Kissinger, whose original name was Heinz. Heinz Kissinger. Who would know that? I wouldn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm reading The Lucky Years right now, and it has to do with personalized medicine and all of the advances that are coming available to the U.S. citizen based on the advances in medicine with technology and genetic work, things like that. It's very, very interesting. It's a great book. Suggest people read it.
The Lucky Years. Well, I wonder if the next 7 years our federal listeners are going to call them the Lucky Years. What if it's going to have anything to do with Fatara? So get out your crystal ball there, Steve, and tell me in the next 5 to 6 years, you think Fatara is just going to be, it fizzled out. You know, Jerry Connolly didn't get reelected. He was the champion, and it fizzled out. Well, or is it going to be, hey, that was the first step along many, and now we were. So what do you think is going to happen with Fatara?
I think that we've laid the groundwork so that, 5 years from now, you're going to be reaping tremendous ROI from, the work that Congressman Connolly and others have done here. It takes time to actually see the ROI. We're already seeing evidence of collective negotiations around software. I saw an article yesterday where 17 IC agencies came together and created a single licensing agreement with a publisher that previously they all had separate agreements. You know, this is going to save them millions of dollars. So there's easy short-term wins. I think the biggest wins will manifest 3, 5, and 7 years from now.
We talked about change management in the early block. And when I think of Tony Scott, he's kind of an outsider insider. They bring in an outsider who can walk in a room and say, hey, John, take a shower. You smell. Or they can say, hey, get a new car. So a lot of people, you know, you work in an environment and you don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart and everyone getting along and go along. And then an outsider comes in. Do you think that's the role that a Tony Scott plays here? He comes in, he says, no, the emperor doesn't have clothes. And furthermore, you're spending too much on this. And by the way, you're behind on that. And you think he has the ability to do that? And what do you think his role is going to play in this?
I think he's providing exceptional leadership. I actually have a Google service that delivers to me, delivers to my inbox, anything that Tony Scott said the previous day in the media. And, you know, as a gentleman that previously led IT for places like Microsoft, VMware, General Motors, and Disney, he's got, you know, an unbelievable pedigree. I think he accomplished an awful lot in all of those companies. By delivering, a progressive IT strategy that took cost out while increasing service levels for his users. So, I mean, the guy knows how to do it. And, you know, in the federal market where a lot of the regulations and things were one of the primary inhibitors of progress, now that we've removed some of those barriers, you bring somebody like Tony Scott in that has been there, that has done it, that, you know, maybe is one of the country's, you know, best, you know, commercial CIOs. I think he's got the, you know, the experience and the vision to help us move this thing forward. I'm needless to say, I'm a really big fan.
I'm on the radio and I listen to radio. I listen to news in Spanish. And I also listen to sports radio. And, you know, when someone like me gets on the air and says, well, I should have thrown the touchdown or tackled the guy or something, I go, well, what does he know? But when John Riggins gets on the air and he says, you know, when you get hit like that, you can't move the next day. and that resonates with me. And I believe John Riggins when he says that, or Charles Mann. And when someone like Tony Scott walks in and says, look, buddy, this is what we did at Disney. This is what we did at these organizations. It has punch, I think.
Yeah, and you know, he's a good leader. He takes you know, what is a very complex landscape of work that needs to be accomplished, and translates that into layman's terms that people can understand, even if they're not IT people. And you know, I think that's one of the biggest challenges of Atara. And as we've been talking today, I've talked about the role of the CIO, and it's a tough job because, you know, the vast majority of people that are impacted by IT decisions in an agency really don't understand or want to understand what's going on in the data center. Meanwhile, there's a lot of a lot of hard work that needs to be done to get to where we need to go, and you have to drive this alignment on a topic that's pretty sophisticated and complex.
When I was in college, one of my friends got a job in a night shift, and the first time I asked him, I said, "Did you find a place to take a nap?" and there's some obvious things, not obvious things. People can hide in big organizations. I think this risk assessment transparency that Fatara is engendering here, this transparency can be good and bad news. I mean, there may be some people who are listening that are resistant to transparency because maybe they're not operating as efficiently as possible. So transparency can be good news and bad news depending on how you view it, huh?
Well, the great thing is that the oversight comes, you know, on a bipartisan basis, and I think that everybody can agree on what needs to be accomplished because it's the right things. You know, at Dell Federal, we believe that, you know, technology solutions should be delivered on open systems, that the cost of acquisition should be as low as possible, that the cost of the ongoing operation should be as low as possible, that things like scalability, availability, and cybersecurity need to be well thought out. And so that's why Michael Dell has chosen to keep, you know, this really broad portfolio of capability in the client systems and the data center, a large portfolio of software and a great deal of services capability so that we can build solutions, deliver these things to people without them having to necessarily design all of it themselves and deliver against these initiatives that are being, you know, monitored.
I'm standing in front of a Dell monitor, and to tell you the truth, I've seen a lot of Dell servers in data centers. If one of the initiatives is data center consolidation, is that pushing and pulling against Dell, or is that a good thing for Dell?
We believe that helping customers make progress is the best way to build our business. And so, historically speaking, we've been, you know, one of the first companies to bring, you know, virtualization strategies forward and say, hey, you're running your data center with a low utilization, maybe 20-25% of total resources. Let's help you implement VMware and virtualize this, get to a more efficient state. We're an absolute leader in software defined everything, in converged architectures. And we're very proactively bringing these things to market where somebody might look at it and say, well, you know, so you're bringing, you know, converged strategies to market. Doesn't that, work against, selling, you know, storage environments?
I would think so.
Well, we know that if we do the right thing for our customers and help them make progress, on things like flipping the 80-20, reinvesting their money to support the data economy, get your money out of the mainframe, get it into, a cloud platform service or Nutanix on Dell, or EvoRail on Dell. Let's then take the money that you saved, reinvest it in things like decision support systems or mobility for your users. So you can transform an analog workflow into a digital workflow and help somebody deliver a better quality service.
Analog to digital, that's what Michael started off with, and that's how we're going to end the interview. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy and Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest today, Steve Harris, Vice President, General Manager, Dell Federal Systems. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.